traumatizing childhood memory of an Easter egg hunt. The big hunt was a big deal in our family, and I have this memory of running and excitedly reaching for eggs, only to have my big brother and sister sweep in and steal them at the last second. It's Ryan, and unfortunately, this is a traumatizing reality our Faith and Family Mortgage team is seeing from families across the country. Families are finding their dream home, only to have it pulled away by another hunter at the last second. At United Faith Mortgage, we unfortunately cannot scare off the other hunters, but we can very quickly get you pre-approved and make it look as good as possible to sellers. And then, once you do grab that Easter egg,
see our story and read how our direct lender advantage can often save your family monthly and lifelong money at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Meadow, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1335. Rack NMLS number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, a company placing God and family first. Great home time and great benefits with highly competitive pay. Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a string of storm-free, very warm days, which continues and will continue for much of the week ahead. Mostly sunny again today, still warm and dry. High temperature up to about 86 and still not too bad on the humidity. Partly cloudy tonight, very mild, low 66. Expect upper 80s tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. I have removed the mention of showers from the forecast. Starting to feel more and more like summer. We'll be around 90 by the end of the week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo here with Capital Tractor. When you want your front lawn to feel more like a welcome mat, the Kubota Z400 is built to cut like a pro. Turn on a dime with effortless precision. Fast cut, Kubota quality, affordable price. See us today. Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. The FBI is investigating an officer-involved shooting near Dadeville Sunday afternoon. Tallapoosa County deputies were responding to a location near Fellowship Baptist Church in the Budson community when shots were fired at the deputy. The suspect was injured and taken to Baptist South Hospital in Montgomery. No officers were injured. More than 2.7 million coronavirus vaccine doses have now been administered in the state. The Alabama Department of Public Health says more than 3,000 cases have been confirmed in the last 2 weeks. And a historic marker was unveiled in honor of Reverend Robert and Jeannie Gretz Sunday. They are known as the only white clergy to publicly support the Montgomery bus boycotts. Their home was bombed twice by the KKK. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
This is your roving reporter, and I'm talking today with Godzilla.
Hello!
Tell me, Godzilla, why do you go around destroying cities, crushing buildings with your massive feet?
Well, man, I'll tell you, it wasn't anything personal toward the cities or the people. I was just looking for something.
And pray tell, what were you looking for?
I was looking for an asset preservationist to help me take care of my money, man.
Did you find one?
Yes, I did.
And now I suppose you're going to tell me it was David Ernest.
That's right, man. It was David Ernest. Like, I am the greatest of all monsters, and he is the greatest of all asset preservationists.
I see.
And you know, you can call David Ernest at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
Well, thank you, Godzilla. And before we go, could you give us that famous Godzilla roar?
Oh, I'd really like to, man, but I can't.
And why not?
Well, since I got that shot, man, I've been a little hoarse.
Right.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Well, good afternoon, friends. We are down to our final hour. You are listening to April Marie Fogle, filling in for Dan Morris today and every day for the next several months. I mentioned a couple segments ago that CNN has fired a contributor. The man had written 54 articles for them, and it was found that he had been posting about his support for Hitler. What the what? He had 54 articles under his name. They have said he will no longer be contributing. They said it's been said they should maybe fire whoever does their background checks. So he tweeted yesterday, "The world needs a Hitler." And then you go back in his timeline, and he said said other things like, "Hail Hitler. The only reason I'm supporting Germany in the finals is Hitler was a German, and he did good with those Jews."
Wow. Okay, then.
What in the world?
And, you know, and anti-Semitism does pop up in all sorts of different ways. And, you know, you see it with especially Iran. I'm not sure what this guy's particular background is. But some in the Islamic world, the denial of the Holocaust while at the same time praising it.
It's
messed up.
Yeah, he had written what looks like favorable articles about Pakistan. U.S. national. I got nothing. How? First off, how do people like this still exist? I mean, truly, there is a level of evil. There's a level of evil, indecency, lack of conscience. I don't know. I mean. So he tweets today, "Glad a single tweet contributed to the Palestine cause and brought it to limelight with me losing my job and the West's claim of freedom of expression and human rights." So he is saying that he had a First Amendment right to praise Hitler while writing for CNN, which, you know. Losing my job. People have lost their job for way less.
Technically, he does have a First Amendment right, and I would stick by my priors in the sense that when somebody thinks those things, when somebody believes those things, it'd be nice if they say it, so I know they say
exactly.
They think those things and believe those
things. Well, and the First Amendment that certainly covers one's ability to say hateful things. We can't ban that. But what we can do is those with decency cannot give them a bigger platform to express their hate. That's where I am on that. I've actually spoken before. There was a young lady who did an incredibly racist, I want to say it was like a TikTok or Snapchat or something, at a university, who was kicked out of the university. And I said, where better to expand her mind and who better to teach her than a college campus? That I don't think they should have kicked her out. What they should have done is they should have schooled her. That's what they are, a school. They should teach her about the history of racism. They should teach her about why the words and things she did was so offensive. This is an adult man writing for CNN. They had every right to discontinue their independent contractor relationship with them. Just absolutely ridiculous, people. Just absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, that is the type of either vetting or quality that I've come to expect from CNN. Am I wrong to say that?
No.
I mean, I'm not saying everybody over there is a racist Hitler hater. I'm a Hitler lover, but it doesn't surprise me as much as it could. I talked earlier about the article out. "Watch out, Georgia and Alabama," a pharmaceutical executive wrote at the height of the prescription opioid crisis. "There will be a mass exodus of pillbillies heading north." This email, in a story by on AL.com, this email cited by prosecutors as they go after executives responsible for the big opioid crisis. "Employees at pharmaceutical distributor AmerisourceBergen repeatedly mocked addicts as pillbillies and hillbillies," mm-hmm. "referred to Kentucky as Oxycontinville as a twist on the Jimmy Buffett song Margaritaville." Who are these people? Heartless. if there is no way to have been alive in the last decade and not realize the havoc that the opioid addiction and crisis has caused this country, the broken families, the lives lost.
Well, and I think it's always a balance. Obviously, people are responsible for their own actions, but it's also you need to have a heart and a little bit of compassion when you see that this is happening to so many folks. And why is it happening in certain areas? And how do we fix it? I don't think mockery is necessarily the best medicine here.
Well, I think it's the lack of consideration for the human impact. And as somebody who's really into policy making and having worked on the Hill and worked for executives, one of the things that's very easy, especially for young people, there's kind of a gap there. Young people just getting into it or people who have been around and are desensitized to it. There is a sweet spot where you recognize that your policy making and the decisions you're making in either a boardroom or in a conference room, if you're on the policy side, it impacts actual individuals and their actual lives. And whether you're doing something great, like protecting people, say this, the bill on hormone treatment, or the opposite, you are delighting in the demise of people. At the end of the day, you have a responsibility as someone whose decisions impact the lives of others to take that into account. And there's an almost morbid sense of humor that comes with some jobs, like law enforcement or EMTs, where you have to somewhat take step back and become desensitized. Policymaking isn't one of those jobs, and an opioid executive saying things like this isn't one of those jobs.
Right.
This is just appalling.
Right.
Ellis is on the line. Ellis, you called earlier and we didn't get to you. How's it going?
That's okay. I figured you had better things to talk about. Anyway, mine wasn't that important, but this is the opioid crisis. Now, I watched it on HBO, and I've told you about this. It's a documentary called Crime of the Century. And it goes back through the history of opioids, how they got here, and the manufacturers and the pharmaceutical, big pharma, you name it. It's really good. It's two parts. You need to watch it. Okay, Johnson & Johnson was at the top of one of the biggest opioid pushers in the United States.
I didn't realize that.
You realize that?
I didn't realize that.
I did not either. And there is just, you talk about, just watch it. It is so eye-opening and mind-blowing. I mean, it is crazy what they're doing. It's pretty much what R.J. Reynolds did with cigarettes. You know, back there was a whistleblower. They did a movie called The Insider, Michael Mann did, where he was a chemist making the cigarettes more addictive.
Right.
Well, the same with these opioids, all of this that Johnson & Johnson and others have done. I mean, it is, and the lives, people, you know, their lives were just ruined.
I've seen it firsthand. It is a crisis that comes and goes in waves in which the way we talk about it or acknowledge it, but the months in between doesn't make it any less of a crisis. And I would argue that through COVID, when people are home and people who had already been treated for substance abuse issues, that there's a likelihood that we're, again, when we're looking at the unintended consequences of these shutdowns and of people losing their jobs and of the mental health toll that all this took, opioid addiction is going to be one of those things where it's higher.
Yeah. Well, I know about it firsthand because I had a nephew back in 2005 die of a methadone overdose. So, and he's just turned 16. So, you know, it is. And so I'm watching this. You know, there were small towns of Grundy, West Virginia was one that was being struck. A lot of the rural counties, you know, and small cities. But to see these companies just get super rich off it, you know, and nothing done to them.
Well, Well, and, so it's,
and they're still going.
I don't mind companies making money. What I mind people companies doing is being completely unethical to their responsibility as good corporate citizens,
right,
and to the communities that are going to be impacted by this.
Exactly.
Serious offense to mocking the pillbillies, knowing that a lot of the people who get opioid addictions, who develop these kind of addictions, are those who live in rural communities, are the places where doctors are making money hand over fist, ruining the lives of individuals who become hooked. And frequently, they start off on needing it for one reason or another, be it a surgery or a dental
right.
procedure or whatever, and
right.
then these pill mill doctors just make a killing, literally,
yeah.
an actual
well,
killing by killing yeah. people.
Well, this documentary covers all of that. Watch it, people. Like Crime of the Century, HBO, it's on demand, two parts. It's really eye-opening.
Okay.
And, you know, it's you just got to watch it.
I will do it.
They created these pillbillies.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
You created addiction to cigarettes.
One of my favorite Democrats in the world is a guy by the name of Dave Ehrenberg. And Dave Ehrenberg was one of the first prosecutors. He's a state attorney down in Palm Beach, Florida. One of the first to go after the pill mills and make it a big statewide issue in Florida. So the efforts that they were avoiding were partially because of him that chased them up there and how we ended up with these here. Thanks for calling, Ellis. We are going to...
You're welcome. Hey, watch.
I will watch it. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, Randall, who I haven't talked to in ages. Randall, you hold tight. We'll be right back after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Let me first say thank you so much for your prayers. That is very important to me, and it got me through my last cancer. But I'm not going to let a little radical surgery get in the way of my helping my audience. That's why I'm taking the time to remind you about my good friend John Williams and the great folks at Mortgage Corporation of the South. They have helped me and so many members of my audience save money by refinancing their home. Whether it's VA, FHA, or conventional loan, Mortgage Corporation of the South is your go-to new home or existing home refinancing. As I mentioned, Mortgage Corporation of the South handled my personal home and did an outstanding job and saved me oodles of money. So call John Williams and the gang at Mortgage Corporation of the South, 567-9000, and let them help you. Good credit, not just good credit. Let Mortgage Corporation of the South put you on the right side of lending. 567-9000.
Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air is hiring. Discover the Dixie Difference, a level of excellence that my family has proudly provided its clients and staff since 1908. Apply at calldixie.com.
Call Dixie and it's done.
License number 15033.
You've waited all season and Fox Tomorrow.
We're invited to meet the little queen.
It's the emotional season finale of The Resident.
Nothing will ever be the same.
What have we done? Then, don't miss the mind-bending finale of Prodigal Son.
Dad, you don't belong out here.
Malcolm!
This world isn't for you.
Malcolm! What did you do?
Tomorrow on Fox 20.
Well, once again, the winds of corruption are blowing across Alabama like a California wildfire. And this time, the Poarch Creek Indians are fanning the flames. The so-called gambling bill is nothing more than a get-rich scheme for the tribe at taxpayers' expense. In fact, this legislation is so bad that Donald Trump Jr. tweeted last week,
"Bad bill. Giving a monopoly to a small group of casino bosses is just a special interest giveaway."
It's hard to believe that the state legislative leadership would give the Poarch Creek Indians a monopolistic tax-free ride. But after all, this is Alabama, where pay-to-play is stronger than Sitting Bull's army. It's time for lawmakers to be honest with Alabama voters for a change. Don't buy the lies. Call the Speaker of the House at 334-261-0500 to say no to greed and corruption, and yes to integrity. 334-261-0500. Paid for by McGreen Investments, LLC. J.W. McFarland, founder, Tuscaloosa.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
The Dan Morris Show. With your guest host, April Marie Fogle.
Rocks!
Looking a little bit better now than I was 20 minutes ago. I have officially put my face on. In case you were wondering. I show up to the studio, naked faces, with a naked face. But then before I go to the State House, I have to put the face on. We have applied our face. Randall, how's it going, dear?
Going good. How y'all?
I'm a little jealous. Jason got to meet you and I didn't.
Well, I mean, time will heal it.
In due time.
Yes, it's meant to be. And but there was some football players staying at your Doubletree though Friday night. That was there. But I want to say this opioid thing. You can look up right now. Just punch in opioid wars of China. They had two of them back in the 1800s. And one of our shipping, this were facts and me proving it's a little rust, so I just skipped the shipping people, but they reside here in Alabama now. And they added an extra L to their last name, though. And but that was in the 1800s. That's how they took China over and all their shipping ports. And why they carved out a piece of Hong Kong was where opioids was not ever supposed to come to. They kept letting them do it to their people, which they smoke it over there. But if you look up Mobile right now, there's a bad influx of pressed pills, fake pills, whatever you want to call it. They pressing these pills, and it's not opioids in it. They have caused quite a bad little situation here. But go ahead.
Are you talking about the pills now that are laced with fentanyl?
Well, it ain't just sometimes they don't even waste money on that. You know what I mean? It's just a pressed pill that's fake, and it could be anything. It could be some kind of poison, and it might not even do. You know, some of them ain't gonna do nothing to nobody, but some of it hit the right person with the right protein. It's gonna make them sick, or it could kill them.
You're reminding me of wasn't it Hunter Biden who talked about snorting fake drugs?
Yeah, Parmesan. Smoking
Parmesan.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, ain't no telling. With him, he was out there anyway. But yeah, Mobile, and I guess it's because they're a big port, is why they're getting in there. And it may be because they come from China. But there will be, I mean, somebody's going to figure out a way to do opioids just like they do crystal meth in the backyard. I mean, they will figure out the science to it, and it's going to kill a lot of people because you got all these folks hooked on it. And let's just take music, for example. We're always talking music. Opioid has been in rap music for ages. But it's just now, they just put it on to folks. So 10 years ago, I couldn't get one of my black brothers to pop a pain pill and drink a beer for nothing in the world. But now the whole hood's leaning. And look, David Banner, Little Flip, they've been talking about this stuff in Houston for ages, but they never let them boys get mainstream with it. And when they got ready, to do it, they turned it loose. And I'm talking, it's really hurting our inner cities bad, way worse than what they talking about these hillbillies. They might want to put it on the hillbillies, but lean has really took over the inner cities, and it's hurting our kids,
it's,
man.
It's frightening. It's frightening. Well, thanks for calling, Randall. It's good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yes, ma'am. We'll see you, babe. Bye-bye.
Yeah, the opioid crisis is just awful. One of the projects I worked on before was educating people about how when the laws started tightening for the pill mills and for the prescribers, then what ended up happening was there was a big influx of pills that started coming in from China and Mexico. And those were laced with fentanyl and other drugs. And people were dying because they weren't realizing what they were buying on the streets wasn't what they were used to getting from Walgreens and CVS back when they were able to get it through these pill mills. And China is one of the biggest exporters. A lot of people talk about the drugs coming through the Mexico line, but China, they're shipping them into the U.S. using just good old-fashioned mail. It's so rare that it's caught that they'll almost guarantee you can get your pills. And it's frightening. It's frightening the amount that's here. It's frightening the impacts of it. And there are many, too many to list in terms of the way that this drug impacts our communities.
Well, in many ways, the consequences of the drug can be its own hell and an own prison. It's, I don't know, if you ever have dealt with addicts, it can be, you can have a heart and you can be compassionate, and sometimes that works for folks. Sometimes you gotta let go.
Yeah.
And people won't listen until they hit rock bottom. Unfortunately, this type of drug, rock bottom might mean death. It's a very difficult situation, and the fact that there is so much on the illicit market while folks are getting hooked on the licit market. They get prescribed something.
Right.
And they run out, they get cut off, they go to the illicit market. It's a mess.
It is a very bad cycle, and it's a very hard one to break, the cycle of addiction. I'm going to introduce this topic, okay, before we listen to the clip. Again, in the things that we know about COVID, one of the things is conservatives have been questioning, Donald Trump questioned the death counts and the inflation of numbers over deaths from COVID. Here's the CDC director talking about, Rochelle Walensky, talking about COVID deaths.
For you to wear that mask, how much disease is in your community?
Are you aware of any fully vaccinated individual who has died of COVID-19?
We do keep a track of this on our website. We are asking hospitals and healthcare facilities to send us cases of what we're calling breakthrough infections. They occur. They are rare. We are aware of 223 as of May 10th that are among the 115 million people that had been vaccinated by that time. I also want to convey that now many, many hospitals are screening people for COVID when they come in. So not all of those 223 cases who had COVID actually died of COVID. They may have had mild disease, but died, for example, of a heart attack.
So you said 2,300 cases, but no confirmed deaths of people who are vaccinated from COVID.
I'm sorry. There have been 223 deaths out of 115 million people who have been vaccinated.
So here's what's interesting about this exchange. The exchange is intended to say to us that people who get the vaccine aren't dying from the vaccine, and they're less likely to die if they get COVID. That's the point, right? But in that exchange, she was able to say not all of those 223 cases who had COVID died of COVID, which is a distinction that so many conservatives and so many other healthcare providers have been trying to get the CDC to make for a very long time, where COVID is not necessarily the cause of death, but someone died with COVID.
Right.
We're going to talk about this when we come back from the break, because I'm amazed that she actually said those words, because that's a truth that they've been dancing around for a long time. You are listening to April Marie Fogle. Not much happening in the Alabama legislature today, the day of sine die. We will be back.
Loves your mom, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, it's crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too.
Your news talk place to be, The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Spring is here, and your friends at Peaches and Clean can help relieve some of your spring fever cleaning. All the pollen and rain, it's time to get those carpets clean. Make your house look and smell clean. Plus, Peaches and Clean can take care of your hardwood floors, upholstery cleaning, and tile and grout. And no one takes better care of your expensive oriental and area rugs. Visit peachesinclean.com. That's Peaches, the letter N, clean.com.
There's no clean like Peaches and Clean.
If you need a plumber, call a plumber. If you need an electrician, call an electrician. Now, if you need excellent service on your heating and air, call Mays Heating and Air, 361-1895. Mays Heating and Air is locally owned. You can take advantage of Mays' lower overhead and lower prices. Trust your family's comfort and your biggest investment, your home, to Mays Heating and Air. Their work is guaranteed, and they'll be there when you need them. Mays Heating and Air offers smart financing with Alabama Power and Spire, including commercial replacements. If you've been shocked by an estimate from another dealer, then you'll want to call Mays Heating and Air for a free estimate. Play it safe. It's time to get your spring checkup. Right now, it's a real deal. Call Mays. It pays for heating and air service and new or replacement units. 361-1895. 361-1895. Or go to maysclimate@gmail.com. State Alabama license number 89388. Trust Mays Heating and Air. They've been in business for 35 years.
Looking for insurance, or maybe you're just not satisfied with your current carrier? How does quality coverage with local service and competitive rates sound to you? The folks at Stark Agency offer just that. Whether you need insurance for your business, car, home, or life, Stark Agency can help. As an independent insurance agency with over 20 of the top insurance carriers, Stark is sure to find the perfect match for you and your loved ones. Visit their site at starkagency.com or give them a call at 334-263-5535 for a quote today.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
What's up, Montgomery? This your boy Bama Miles up here at Rim Time. We've been rocking with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 6 years now. If you're looking to grow your business, hit them up. They'll get you right.
If you're a local business, 93% of your customers listen to radio every week. Reach customers where they are. Radio. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding.
Quality, beauty, value, and more. JB Windows and Siding has what you're looking for.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a string of storm-free, very warm days, which continues and will continue for much of the week ahead. Mostly sunny again today, still warm and dry. High temperature up to about 86 and still not too bad on the humidity. Partly cloudy tonight, very mild, low 66. Expect upper 80s tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. I have removed the mention of showers from the forecast. Starting to feel more and more like summer. We'll be around 90 by the end of the week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASC Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 1.99% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASC. Equal opportunity lender.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
The Dan Morris Show. with special guest April Marie Fogle, talking about the CDC finally admitting you can die with COVID and not have it be of COVID. Now, there are people who die who had an underlying condition that was exacerbated by COVID, and those are being counted as deaths. But there are also people who just die, and they are test positive of the virus. And so I was able to look up, this is a conversation that's been going on for almost a year.
Yeah.
Over when do we count it? And then I'm realizing that not everyone who died with COVID had autopsies, because they're just hit. There was a wave in right. which if you tested positive when you came into the hospital, whatever it was you died of, that was just a COVID death. That's not to say people didn't, a lot of people didn't die, because a lot of people did die. COVID was and is a very serious virus. But this is one of those things where I feel like as we move forward, CDC will backtrack some of these numbers.
Well, people want to reduce it to several different things, but I think there are several factors at play. Number one is the legit scientific nature of this virus, is that it does attack the entire body. It is a very odd thing in that regard. And so sometimes, you know, it's like, what's the cause? You know, other times it's very clear. There's been reporting, I'm sure you've seen this, April Marie, of financial incentive to hospitals, that if it's a death due to COVID.
Yes. Trump got a lot of pushback from insinuating that, but that is a very real issue.
And then there are the political factors on reporting. And so, you know, when we were in the middle of this thing, they had like tickers on it, like, you know, the death toll ticking on and right. on, up and up and up. And so the way you go about reporting cases or you're reporting deaths, it unfortunately became political football. And I think this all adds to the confusion.
Yes, it's. So here's what one of the medical examiners says. It's quite challenging from the medical examiner perspective to determine if a person is dying with COVID-19 or from COVID-19. Recently had a man who appeared to be in his 30s, was healthy, or at least didn't have any past medical history, tested positive for COVID about 8 days prior to his death. But it turns out he had been found, when they opened him up, he had lung disease that had gone untreated, undiagnosed to that point.
Right.
There was another man who lived at home with several pre-existing conditions. When we did the autopsy, other than some of the effects of alcohol abuse, everything looked normal. But the COVID-19 was an incidental finding. So, I think we're going to go through, and at some point, researchers are going to go back and look at a lot of these deaths, and especially and say, okay, did this person die from or with COVID?
And I'm still very much wanting to know the origins story, and not even to like stick it to the Chinese or anything like that, or to Fauci. I think it's very important we understand the beginning of the story, or we're not going to learn much from this.
Correct. I agree. One of the things that came out this afternoon was Governor Andrew Cuomo's COVID book deal. His aides have finally fessed up to how much he made for tooting his own horn as he killed off God knows how many seniors. $5.12 million.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of fudge Andrew Cuomo tweets, but you know, Ralphie didn't say fudge.
$5.12 million. In 2020, his book income was $1.54 million per tax returns.
Have you read it?
No.
I haven't, but I've listened to folks who have, and they said it was surprisingly not this, like, the usual ghostwritten political propaganda. It was almost sort of like a daily diary, daily briefing. So they were surprised by the detail of it, and it wasn't like, but the fact that he's making this money?
It's bonkers. Of that, he contributed $500,000 to the United Way, and the remaining $1 million went to a trust for his daughters.
Well, you gotta make some money.
He's due another $2 million in book income spread over the next 2 years, said his office. So $5.12 million total, of which $3.12 million was paid this year and $2 million spread out over the next 2 years. Here's what's crazy about him is that he survived not just the nursing home news and the fact that his office was so, again, almost gleeful in their getting around reporting, and they took pride in protecting him and his reputation, in spite of the families asking for information, but also the subsequent sexual harassment and hostile work environment accusations that came following that. It was kind of a put his head down and just let time pass.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about this because, you know, I was talking with, say, the proprietor of this place, and we've had too many just dudes. It's been all dudes all the time here on News Talk. When this was going on, my sense was, okay, if it doesn't rise to the, obscene level in the sense of like a Weinstein, truly criminal right. behavior, is it almost like Cuomo didn't get as taken down, number one, because he wouldn't resign, but number two, you look at the guy, you hear about the guy's history besides these stories, and you're like, you're not surprised. The lack of surprise doesn't make it as much of a scandal it could be.
It was a combination of factors. I think one of the biggest things was that there was too much of an emphasis, in my opinion, as a woman, on some of the, what I would consider, sillier stories. So he was a single man at a wedding, approached a woman, probably been drinking, and touched, put her hands on his shoulder or something, stood too close, and asked her for a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
That is indicative of a man who thinks very highly of himself, but does that rise to the level of sexual harassment? No. Now then you turn around and you look at the story of the woman who was a journalist who he then, touched her or said inappropriate things to her. Does that rise to the level of sexual harassment or hostile work environment? And I would say yes. I would say, but the wedding thing got a lot of play because it was one of the first accusations against him. I think that he benefited from a news cycle that where the news wanted to be friendly to him. No doubt about that. The media did not want him to fall. They love him. He was a darling. He is a darling. They had to admit they were wrong. Two, by the fact that even though people did call for his resignation, he managed to just put his head down and go through it. Now, we've seen that here in Alabama, even recently.
Mm-hmm.
It works if we let it work. If the people calling for the resignation aren't sincere in their hope for him to be gone, he can get away with it, and he did. But I think you're right. There, part of this was it had always been whispered about. There was no doubt about his social life and him cheating on his girlfriends and his being, catting around and having a sense of humor.
Right.
That some would say, and it was inappropriate, the sense of humor. But he was known for these things and this style.
Do you remember back when the Me Too movement really got going? You got Weinstein, you got Cosby. And it jumped the shark, I noticed. I mean, some of the female French actresses and intellectuals were like, what does this say, harassment? And like, they're very sex positive in France, but they were the only ones I saw. It jumped the shark, and it seemed to turn, especially with female voices in the media, the Aziz Ansari thing. And
I remember that one.
It was essentially a really awkward date. He went on a date.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And when they got back to the apartment, he made several advances. It wasn't like he was forcing himself, but it was awkward, and he was going for it, and she was not having it.
Yes.
And it was, like, you read it, number one, it's icky. I don't like reading this.
Right.
I don't like hearing about other people's stuff. But it also wasn't to the level of, like, all these
horrible cases. This is a sexual assault and a predatory person.
Right.
No, I'm with you. And there have been the Me Too movement, which, by the way, ended up being, I think, exploited to some extent in terms of the people they went after, people turning a blind eye to victims of this. You know, the Brett Kavanaugh story.
Right.
Where
this is why they sacrificed Al Franken.
Right. Because
we're going to take out one of our own, so we set the precedent that...
Yeah, absolutely. Insincere is what a lot of liberal women were when it came to Me Too. But as a woman working in a mainly male, job, I don't even know what to call this, right? Like, world. Not just radio, but politics in general.
Right.
I worried to some extent for the fallout of the locker room talk. Locker room talk doesn't bother me.
Right.
It doesn't. I have no problem saying to a group of men, if I hear something that offends me, whoa, cut that out. I've said before on air, the C word and the P word, two words I will not have a man in my company use.
Sure.
When you're in front of me, don't say that. But on the other hand, I've been in the room when people have said things that other women would have found horribly offensive. But I find it funny because I have a weird sense of humor. And I would be almost more insulted if men tiptoed around me. And that's what the Me Too movement was asking some people to do. The other part of this is dating. Men, I'm in a world where I work 7 days a week during some campaign cycles. If people didn't ask me out that they met who work with me, I'd never have been asked out.
Right.
And so I just feel like the Me Too movement had very positive things in terms of identifying some predators, but it also crossed some lines that were unnecessarily didn't need to be crossed.
It did reveal a lot, but it's like, okay, you've completely changed and in many ways changed gender norms in the society. You've changed the role of, like, we've gotten rid of a lot of the, what used to be the stable standards of, like, courtship and all these different things. And you can even say that's a good thing. I grew up in that world, so I don't know any other world, the one of the 50s and even earlier. That said, when you do a major change like this, it's going to create a lot of different problems you didn't see coming.
Yeah. Well, one of the issues, do you remember the Mike Pence dinner rule?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was vilified for saying, hey, you got to make sure relationship in your marriage works, right? And women were like, no, men should be able to have meals with other women. And then some men came out and said, I'm afraid to do that now because it's my word against hers. If she says I hit on her, said something inappropriate, or right, made her feel a certain way. And there was a pushback on how far do we take this. All right, we're going to go to a quick break, our last break of the show today. I feel like I could talk about this for hours, though. I really could. What the Me Too movement has changed and why Como survived when others haven't. You are listening to April Marie Fogel. Be right back after this short break.
Your news talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Well, once again, the winds of corruption are blowing across Alabama like a California wildfire. And this time, the Porch Creek Indians are fanning the flames. The so-called gambling bill is nothing more than a get-rich scheme for the tribe at taxpayers' expense. In fact, this legislation is so bad that Donald Trump Jr. tweeted last week,
"Bad bill. Giving a monopoly to a small group of casino bosses is just a special interest giveaway."
It's hard to believe that the state legislative leadership would give the Porch Creek Indians a monopolistic tax-free ride. But after all, this is Alabama, where pay-to-play is stronger than Sitting Bull's army. It's time for lawmakers to be honest with Alabama voters for a change. Don't buy the lies. Call the Speaker of the House at 334-261-0500 to say no to greed and corruption and yes to integrity. 334-261-0500. Paid for by McGreen Investments, LLC. J.W. McFarland, founder, Tuscaloosa.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Good afternoon, friends. You are listening to April Marie. Thinking about dropping the Fogel. Just April Marie. You're listening to April Marie.
I like it.
What's We're gonna work on it. This is all new to me. We have been talking Me Too, and it started with the Cuomo book deal. We finally figured out how much he made. $5.12 million or something like that. That's absurd. I wish he would have just focused on COVID during COVID. But just wild. From there, we talked about his lady troubles and how he managed to weather the storm of the Me Too movement and how it didn't really come after him as hard as it did others, which was kind of hypocritical, I believe. Wayne's on the line to chat with us. Hey, Wayne.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, on the Me Too thing, I've talked with some folks that humorously think they were short-sighted or ill-informed or maybe just downright ignorant to adopt the moniker or whatever you want to call it, hashtag Me Too.
Uh-huh.
Hashtag didn't, it used to stand for something other than hashtag. It was a symbol for something.
The number sign?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And it's awfully, awfully strange to say pound Me Too.
Wayne, I didn't see it coming.
It's a little short. It's much like the guys that thought cornhole was such a good name for that popular game these days. I think it's just a little short-sighted and short on research.
Wayne, you win the day.
Oh, really?
I wasn't expecting to crack up at the... I wasn't expecting to crack up during the Me Too conversation, and yet here we are, and I am cracking up.
That's pretty ridiculous, don't you think?
Pound Me Too. I will not be saying hashtag Me Too anymore. I will now be saying pound Me Too.
It sounds more like an order than an admonishment not to.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Just a little short-sightedness, maybe.
That's just too much. I don't even have words. I don't even have words, friend. All right. Well thanks.
Enjoy it, April. Yeah, enjoy it. Have a great day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. We're talking Me Too. See, okay, here's the thing about this is where, and maybe I'll do a whole segment on this tomorrow, on feminism. What feminism, quote, has done to us women in the workforce and us women who still believe in gender roles and us women who don't agree with the radical feminist. Because let's be clear, the feminists who say you can't open my door for me, Joey, they're stupid.
Mm.
I mean it. Don't pull out my chair, don't open my door because that I have the ability to do that. Forget that.
You don't buy the birdcage theory?
What is the birdcage theory?
You know, if you're a bird and you keep running into that one, you know, part of the cage, like, oh, I'm stuck. But you have to see the whole cage, all the different ways the patriarchy keeps us down and keeps us locked down in this cage. Like, we're little canaries.
I love the patriarchy.
I just remember
that. Somebody's going to quote me on that later. I love the patriarchy.
I remember reading this stuff in college and just kind of...
I don't actually like the patriarchy in the way that, you know, men hold women down. But there's, to some extent, I'm into gender roles.
Yeah.
And I've said this a lot. I want the men in my life to be strong protectors and providers. Okay? And if that makes me a weak woman, come tell me that to my face. You're a weak woman, April Marie. Because I've been accused of a lot of things. Rarely does anyone who know me accuse me of being weak.
Mm.
So tell me I'm weak because I like for my men to open my doors. Tell me I'm weak because I like my man to be the dominant person in a relationship. I'm raising two boys, which, by the way, is a... Good God. You guys... Raising boys are so... Everybody tells me raising the boys during this stage, you know, they're 2 and 4, is going to be harder. But then my daughter, when she hits teenager, she's going to be harder. I get it. Boys are hard. Because I want them to grow up, and I want them to be the kind of man that I respect. I want them to be able to change oil, and I want them to be able to open doors for people. And I want them to, when they are around... older men or women say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And I want them to understand that at some point, even though they're younger than their older sister, their job is going to be to tell her boyfriends, you know, to act right. I want to raise men, young men, who understand what I believe manhood is. And I know that that is just not allowed these days. I want to raise young men who believe in fighting for our country, who, you know, if they don't grow up to be soldiers, respect soldiers. There are certain things that us women these days are told as the patriarchy and is told we can do. Oh, I had a topic. Oh, I had it on Friday. I'm going to bring it up here. A women in the Army. I'm going to pull that back up. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I just believe that in some ways we as women have shot ourselves in the foot with this. We demand equality. We demand that you see us no different than you see a man. No, see me as different than a man.
Douglas Murray, you familiar with him? He's a writer. He's a Brit gay man. And he said, it seems like he's got this posh, ridiculous upper class accent. It seems like these days we have to accept that men and women are equal in all things except for when it benefits women. They're ugly. I think he's right about that.
Well, here's the thing is I can hold my own in most things in life. It's true. Okay. But I also am emotional and sappy in ways that I don't want my man to be. I don't mind if you cry, Joey. Yeah. But I don't want you crying every time I cry. I am teaching my sons to acknowledge their feelings and label them and do all those things so they're not, you know, completely socially inept human beings. But at the same time, I don't want to raise wussy boys.
Right.
We went from Me Too to me raising wussy boys. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. Red Top.
Hey, good afternoon, AMF and JC. What a collection of initials you guys have. And it is such a beautiful day, and I'm a very lucky man. Do you know why? I'm about to get off on East Boulevard on 65, and I was doing 75, and a sheriff just passed me.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, that's what I said. Oh, goodness. He could have got me for reckless driving. Luckily, he was doing 80. So, hey, I feel lucky. Although, I'm not going to go buy a lottery card. I don't gamble. It's a waste of time. People want to do it free for them. Okay, let's get down to the Me Too movement. I feel sorry for you guys. Joey, you're a millennial, and AMF, you're a Gen X. What are you?
I don't know. What is 81?
You're a millennial.
Somebody just told me I was a geriatric millennial. Did you see that? A geriatric millennial.
Okay, I feel so sorry for you guys. I'm a baby boomer. Born 1953. Lived in the 60s and the 70s. The prime of the rock and roll and the music utopia that it drives everything that everybody listens to now. And you know what? We didn't have any Me Toos. We didn't have all these rules. We didn't have all these problems. We believed in free love. We went to the drive-in. You guys don't even know what the hell's going on. You ain't been to the drive-in, have you?
I have been to drive-in movie theater.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
It damn sure wasn't like it was in 1968.
No, probably not.
Okay, so you guys...
Where's Red Top? Oh, he's up there on Lookout Point necking with some girl I saw. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah, okay. You guys that made life so complicated, nobody wants to live in anymore. I feel sorry for people in the romance business these days. And as far as teaching boys how to be boys, takes a man, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, 100%. No. 100%.
There ain't no men, so don't expect the boys to know what to be doing. Act like boys if there ain't no men around.
Oh, no. I joke all the time. The boys have learned. They think their uncle is the quintessential builder. They call him the builder because he's a builder and fixer, and he teaches them all the stuff boys do. All right. We've got less than a minute left. I love you, Red Top, but we got to go because I've got to say goodbye to everybody.
You go ahead.
Say goodbye to me because I got to say goodbye to everybody. You guys, I ran out of time. Greg Budell is walking in. You have been listening to April Marie Fogle. You guys, if you liked this topic, we're going to talk about it more tomorrow because I could talk about this all day, and I won't talk about it all day. We'll talk about whatever it is they finish up in Montgomery. We'll talk about more of the Me Too movement and what we're doing to our kids. That and lots more tomorrow